Well, the violence of the world is nothing new. It's just that maybe we have grown accustomed to it. The challenges, the struggles, the attacks, we face them daily, in the world and in the mirror. And daily, things get the better of us. Whether it is fear or anger or pride, whether it is anxiety and self-doubt or hopelessness, whether it is grief or loneliness or depression or maybe exhaustion that is physical or emotional or spiritual. Resources spent, our relationships are strained and they break. And so do our spirits, and so do our bodies, the cancer, the heart condition, the brain condition, the condition we are in. From the moment we are born, we are already dying. Well, what does it drive us to? People rise up against people, nations rise up against nations. We live with it every day. Such that the violence often becomes mundane. And yet there are those events that are intense or out of the ordinary that jolt us awake for a moment. And in that moment, these rare moments, after the shock wears off, there is a chance to see more clearly. There's a chance to make a change or to make a commitment. We are given a second chance. And we are given a third chance. And we are given yet another chance. Well, maybe that's what the crowd was doing when they gathered around John. Maybe they were seizing the chance. Maybe that is why the crowd had flocked to the wilderness. They had had it up to here with bad news. So they thought, maybe out at the river. Maybe that is where they would find some good news. The stories that they had heard in town about John were pretty crazy. A wild man dressed in camel's hair and eating locusts and wild honey. But even crazier than that was that here is this crowd, so searching and so hopeful. They had trekked into the wilderness to be baptized by John. They are looking for God's kingdom breaking into their world. And the first thing that John does, he yelled at them. It's not the greatest approach to pastoral care. And here's this crowd. They'd come out to the wilderness thinking they were being faithful. And John said, no, they are not. He yelled at them, calling them a brood of vipers, a bunch of snakes. So were they surprised by this? Indeed, some were. And yet, as Jesus asks later in Luke's gospel, what was it they were expecting to find out there in the wilderness? And they knew the wilderness was a harsh place. So what was it they were seeking out there? Well, we might ask ourselves the same thing. What are we seeking? Even here this morning, why are we here? What are we seeking? Are we seeking affirmation? Are we seeking a word that says, don't worry about things. The world is fine. You're fine. Everything's fine. I mean, I know I could use an encouraging word. Of course, John didn't say everything is fine. Instead, he shouted, bear fruits worthy of repentance. Even now the axe is lying at the foot of the trees, and every tree that doesn't bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Be prepared for the day of the Lord. These are hard words. And yet, in these hard words, it is clear the crowd heard something hopeful. They caught a glimpse of a new way because they asked, okay, what should we do? They are ready. What should we do? And John told them. He said, strive for equality and justice. Live honestly. Love one another. Share the world's abundance. There is enough for everybody. There is enough food. There is enough clothing. There's enough money. There is enough compassion and forgiveness. There is enough for everybody to have enough. John gave a vision of a new world. And it was definitely good news. And I can imagine the whispers that rippled through the crowd. He must be the Messiah. Listen to his wild words. He has to be the one that we have been waiting for. Right? Who else could it be? We have been waiting for so long. John must be the one whom God would send to free us from our oppression and bring about peace and wholeness for us and for the world. Of course, John said no, he was not the one. Another was coming. And this is the greater part of the repentance that John was proclaiming. Because repentance literally means to turn. So John was saying, stop and turn. Look around, pay attention. Turn from all that is separating you from God and from one another. And turn toward the source from whom new and true life flows. Turn around and be prepared. Prepare yourselves. Open yourselves. Open your eyes and your ears and your hearts. Another is coming, John said, and he is more powerful than I. And then over the next 3 years, the crowds learned that although John was a wild man, Jesus was the true radical. When compared with John, Jesus seems downright cuddly. But in fact, Jesus' words were wilder and harder than John's ever were. When the crowds asked John, what should we do? He gave them a checklist of sorts. But when the crowds asked Jesus, what should we do? Jesus' answer was, have faith. Yes, of course, share and be honest and strive for equality and absolutely love one another. But more than anything, have faith. Because those other things, your works, those things that you do, no matter how good or how well-intentioned, and we know this, we only just have to look around us at the world. These things will not save you. Only God saves. And here is why these words are harder than John's. They mean, you are not in control. This, of course, goes against everything the world would have us believe. You are not in control. But the good news is that God is. And God not only saves, but God is saving you. The promise is, whether you are deserving or not, God is in control, and he is at work in your life, even now. And God is saving you. So if God is doing all of this, what is there left for us to do? Well, the invitation is for us to believe it and to embrace it and to live it. This is good news. And it was hard for many to hear. And even though we are constantly reminded by the events around us that we are not in control, we don't like things to be out of control. And so we embrace the illusion that we are in charge. And then Jesus comes on the scene to show us who really is in charge. Jesus shows us who really is in control. And this made people uncomfortable. In fact, it made people mad. Mad enough to silence him. All right, we'll show him who's in control. It's quite the opposite of our instincts. Jesus showed us that leading is by serving. Jesus shows us that power is in weakness. Power is in humility. True power is in surrendering to what God is up to. Jesus was the radical who shows us that we can never find release by hanging on tighter and tighter. No, freedom comes by giving ourselves over to God's embrace. Salvation does not come by what we accomplish, but is entirely through what Jesus accomplished. And our life is through his death. And in his resurrection, we see that the attacks will never win. Life wins. Well, John was right. God is doing something new. And it is something so much more than we could ever imagine for ourselves. And as the crowd stood in the wilderness there by the river listening to John, just as he had promised, here he came, walking closer and closer, a man they were about to encounter, a man who would change their lives forever, and ours too. Still at a distance, John's attention turned to him. Here he comes. This is the Messiah. Be prepared. He is coming. Jesus is coming. He is the one who will make all things new. So turn to him. And as you turn to him, may you see he is already here.